Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dunkin', the official coffee of the Fan Morning Show. Very good morning to everyone out there. Fan Morning Show, that's us. We're presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing. He's best, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. And we welcome in our pal, Jason Mackey, covers the Pirates for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Hello, Jason. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. Doing great. How are you?
Good. Great, 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 great. Thank you for asking. Where should the – give me the right temperature and, I guess, the right gauge, the right miles per hour, all of it, on the O'Neill Cruz mania. Should we temper it? Should we tamp it back some? Should we press the gas to the pedal – or to the floor, excuse me. Where are we on this, and where should we be on O'Neill Cruz?
Man, I don't know if this is like the Pirates beat writer who has had to cover plenty of crap over the past couple of years, but I don't want to put a governor on it. I don't know why we should. He's been really fun and really exciting, and they haven't had a bunch of stuff that's been really fun and really exciting. I mean, this guy has all the physical tools in the world. Anybody who watches him can see that. He's got a great temperament. He's going to be given an opportunity to do a lot of things. I don't understand why we shouldn't be excited about it. And I'm not saying anybody is. But, I mean, let the kid play. Get excited about it. We don't need to put him in the Hall of Fame yet, but, like, can this kid be an absolutely special player? 100%. I want to see it happen.
Is O'Neill Cruz's arrival and his arrival with a bang, Jason, is it more likely the genesis of something like Andrew McCutchen's arrival was in 2009, or is it more likely sort of a brief, fleeting moment that we capture, and then 2-3 years from now, we're still waiting for the rest of the pieces to fall into place and for the payoff?
Yeah, I do think that's a good point, Chris, and I do think it's a little bit different in Kutch in that way. I think he's one piece to a bigger puzzle. Obviously, a huge piece and a very important piece. I mean that both literally and figuratively, but, like, they're not there yet. They're not all the way there yet. They still need pieces in AA. You know, I'm not breaking any news there, but, you know, he's here because he is too darn good, and, like, it's just ridiculous for them to keep him in AAA any longer, and I think we're seeing that now. But that doesn't mean that the Pirates are automatically ready to compete. I mean, their biggest failure right now is pitching. They need more pitching, but, you know, he is absolutely a part of this thing, should be a part of this thing. And frankly, he's still a little bit raw. And we've heard about this, and I have a piece this morning about his defense being better than expected. That's great, but, like, he still does require work. And that's what this next, you know, year, whatever stretch is going to be about, as other pieces surround him. And I think we're going to start to see that as well.
Jason, a couple of weeks ago, Ben Cherington was on our station, and he talked about sort of the intangible ways that the Pirates were getting better and received a lot of criticism for it. But now that Derek Shelton's got some more talent, albeit young talent, to work with, how do you feel like he's improved from the beginning of his managerial tenure to right now?
You know what I think Shelton has done, and I remember that Cherington stuff, man, and I get what Ben was trying to say. I just don't think it was the time or place. I don't think fans want to hear that right now, especially not after how that game played out. But one of the things that I think is a real big credit to Shelton, it's not X's and O's. And I think some people have issues with his game strategy. I mean, I'm one that has criticized it. But give Shelton this, man. Like, the Pirates in previous years had a huge problem getting players to take what they were doing in AAA and bring it up to the major leagues. I think some of that was player development. I think some of that was the players themselves.
But I have a feeling it was also a culture created by the manager and sort of what atmosphere they walked into with the major league club. Shelton has done a much better job of that. He really has. And guys have come up here and immediately felt comfortable. They've immediately been able to contribute. They've been really good early on in their careers. And the Pirates, frankly, are going to need that. They're going to need the Jack Selinskys of the world, the Cal Mitchells of the world, obviously O'Neill Cruz, Rolandi Contreras, guys to come up here while they're very young, feel comfortable right away, and play well. I mean, that's the only way for the Pirates to win, given Major League Baseball's financial structure. And Shelton has created an environment where that's possible.
Text us, Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. They're a long way off from this, I think. But do you think if the Pirates felt as if they were good going into a year, forget deadlines, they felt as if they were good going into a year, say 1 year ends, then you have all winter, that they would add free agents that were people that the general fan would recognize?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And that's why I think you've seen the payrolls that you have, or you've seen them build this the way they have. Like, they're not spending a ton now because I don't think they view it as totally worth it. And truthfully, I sort of get that part of it. But the idea is to grow this enough with enough prospects, enough homegrown prospects, that they know they're going to have to supplement places. You know, and you always need pitching, like I said before. And, you know, I know Ben Charrington has been told this. I know Travis Williams has been told this, that they're going to be given the resources needed to compete. Well, that is a resource. That is a resource. Spending more money on players, spending more money on your own players, obviously, but you're going to have needs both in season and before the season. And so, yes, Colin, to answer the question simply, I do believe that when they get better, when they have more prospects popping at a certain time, they're going to spend the money necessary to compete.
Another resource for acquiring pitching depth, especially high-end pitching depth, Jason, would be the idea of dealing Brian Reynolds with a couple years left before arbitration. How active do you expect that market to be this summer?
Yeah, I mean, I expect it to be active, but I want to qualify that in a way that the Pirates aren't going to push it. You know, I don't think they're going to be making calls, but I do expect them to receive a lot of calls. Based on the type of player Brian Reynolds is, I think teams that probably view this situation as getting a discount, you know, because of where his numbers stand, I think the Pirates need to be smart and, you know, not trade him based off of 2 months, you know, because his numbers may look a little bit different than they would in another year. The Pirates, in my opinion, should not cut bait on Reynolds, and they should keep him. But I certainly understand why you have to entertain the offers. If you have young outfielders like Selinski, Travis Swaggerty, Cal Mitchell, whatever, not saying these guys are going to be better players than Brian Reynolds, because we don't know that, but you certainly have depth to the point where you might be comfortable dealing with somebody. So I say all that to say Ben Charrington should answer the phone. I expect him to answer the phone. I expect other teams to call and make offers. I think it depends on what those offers are. If they're able to absolutely get a haul, then unfortunately I think that trade could be something that makes sense. But they went into this season believing, that price tag has to be insanely high.
Jason, I'm going to be honest here. I didn't know all that much about Jack Selinski before, but he's hitting dingers. He's making a catch almost every other day, it seems. I mean, he's robbing home runs. He's diving. How good is he for real? How sustainable is his success?
Well, I don't know if we know, Adam. I really don't. I was talking to a guy, Chicago, who's actually Selinski's like personal hitting coach and a good friend of his last night. It was a neat conversation. We've been trying to catch each other last night. This guy works with Selinski all the time in the off season, and yeah, you know, he told me that I honestly don't think he's reached his peak yet, and I would agree with that. I think there's still more growth, development, all that stuff to happen with Jack. And you know, one of the things I watch him, and he strikes out a little bit too much. I don't think that's going to be something that's consistent in his game. I think that'll change. I really like his defense. I think we saw it yesterday, the diving catch against the wall. It sort of plays a fearless left field, even right field if he's out there. He's certainly competent. I like his ceiling. I think it's very high. I don't know if I'd put it in the Brian Reynolds territory, but you know, this isn't a guy who could be a platoon player. Like, as he develops, like, he could absolutely be a regular, you know, above average contributing major league player. I think, you know, there's still some places to go and stuff to correct in his game. But the physical tools, the aptitude, I know from talking to Jack, like a really good, well-intentioned, likable kid. And I'll be curious to see where it goes because he absolutely could be part of this thing too.
Jason Mackey joining us here, Fan Morning Show. And we are brought to you by Tri-State Office Furniture. Opening day next year, who's the second baseman on this team? I keep asking myself that.
Yeah, that's a good question because they've used about 900 of them this season. I feel like everybody on that roster has played second base. Man, that's a tough one because normally I would tell you Michael Chavis. And I would tell you Michael Chavis because I would think that maybe like Mason Martin has taken over at first. Mason Martin's hitting 199, I believe, right now. And I'm becoming a little bit worried about that. I'm also watching Michael Chavis play a pretty good first base. And I'm not sure I'd have an issue with that. In addition to that, we have not seen G1 Bay. So we're sort of taking a guess there. I guess I will say Chavis because it's a safer bet. But I'll be curious to see G1 Bay, and I think he's somebody. He and Cruz played together a lot in the minor leagues. They really like each other. They have a neat relationship. If he gets up here and hits, man, I wouldn't rule out it being Cruz and G1 Bay. I think that would be a really funny, cool, interesting, whatever you want to call it, up the middle tandem.
Jason, it felt like every time we talked last summer, there was the obligatory Mitch Keller check-in. Here we are, four starts back into the rotation after being taken out of it. And in those four starts, the ERA sits at like 2.42, I think. And he's done it against quality offenses, Dodgers and Cardinals included. So what do we need to see from him tonight against the Rays?
How crazy has this been, man? Like, I can't believe we're living in a world where Mitch Keller has, like, found consistency and has seemingly figured it out.
Well, let's pump the brakes. We're a month in, maybe.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's been more than we've seen, though. I mean, last year was literally bad start, good start, bad start, good start. But you know, this sinker has been really encouraging for him, man. And, like, how he got it is crazy to me. You know, it basically came from Dewey Robinson, a guy who pitched for the – or it was a coach for the Rays and helped a lot of their guys and, you know, saying that his four-seam fastball wasn't good enough. But the way Mitch is throwing the sinker, like, I've only seen him improve. I think there's areas for improvement. His control can get better with it. But it's a weapon for him, and I think it helps his other stuff play. It helps his confidence, gives him something to throw in counts where I think too often Mitch has been guilty of, you know, throwing a 1-2 curveball over the middle of the plate and it gets crushed. This gives him a sinker that kind of like idiot proofs it a little bit. I don't mean that to be crass, but, you know, it gives him a good, what do you want to call it, weapon, fail safe, something like that. And I've really been encouraged by the progress that he's made, how he's pitched, the different pitcher he's become with this sinker, and I'm buying it. A couple of people have asked me, like, are you, you know, do you think this is for real? And I really do. I think Mitch Keller is going to continue to get better.
Have you ever heard the song Throat Goat?
I have not, Crowley. Do I want to hear this song? I don't think I do.
Read the lyrics first, and then you get a landscape on what you think, what you're headed into. And then the tune becomes catchier and catchier. It's a big Peloton song.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Certainly.
Okay.
I heard the Dead did like a 22-minute version of it in Cleveland in 1983 that was really off the chains.
They didn't make it to Cleveland in 83, Mac.
The fact that you know that is scary, that's by sick. The way.
I'm jerking my chain, man. Actually, I just took a guess. I don't know if I know that for sure.
All right.
But it sounded like a good rebuttal.
Jason Mackey, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Jason, we thank you for joining us. As always, we will talk down the road.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. Have a good one.
Thanks, all right. Twitter brought to you by South Hills Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Peters Township. Visit them online, southhillsjeep.com. Coming up next, Breakfast Bites, top of the hour. Speaking of songs, someone crafted a song for us you have to absolutely positively hear. That's coming up at the top of the hour. It is spectacular. But first, though, ran into these guys yesterday, played some golf with them. They are the best. The best. Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman, and they are there for you. 25%. Yep, settle your case, 25%. Go to trial, 25%. File an appeal, 25%. Take your case all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court, still 25%. There are a lot of firms out there who want to charge you 40%. Not these guys. Nope, not Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman. Again, their fee, 25%. When you retain Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman, your case handled by Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman, right? 1-888-98-TWINS. That's 1-888-98-TWINS. Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman. They got your back, not your wallet.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.